Welcome into the Chris Collinsworth podcast here with Austin Gale, who's in charge of everything related to content and otherwise around here at PFF. What's going on, man?
Doing great, man. I appreciate you having me on.
All right. So how many hours of sleep after the thing? Was it one of those just 24 hours straight? You just went to bed and that's it after the draft?
I feel like I accomplished something this year, Chris, and then I didn't sleep on the office couch, which was good. You know, I went home and actually slept in my bed. It was about maybe 8 hours over the 3 days, but it's the best time of the year, right? I think, you know, when you rank the calendar year for me, week one is Christmas, right? Week one, the first Sunday is insane. I think number two is the draft. I love the draft so much. I love the optimism, right? The hope for every franchise. I think there's a lot of, you know, ways to evaluate process for teams. You find strategy for teams. I think the draft is worth the minimal hours of sleep I get.
So now we're going to try a little exercise here because, and I'm notorious for this on this podcast, I'm going to work at the same time, and hopefully somebody wants to watch it. But I really felt like I needed to go through the league at this point because we've been through free agency now. We've been through the draft. So these teams are now kind of what they are. Mm-hmm. So it's an interesting discussion at this point, and I almost want to go, all right, above 500, below 500, right?
Yeah.
Are there teams out there that have made such a difference? And quite honestly, the team that I think did make the biggest difference in the draft the last few years, Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
I mean, Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow, they got the best player out of the draft in each of the 2 years, in my opinion. And they go to the Super Bowl. So is there that kind of team coming out of this draft that we go, maybe, right? The Jets got a lot after getting their quarterback with Zach Wilson. Anyway, we'll go through them all. We won't take forever, but just a glance at the teams as is, and you know, we'll just sort of break it down a little bit and see what we think.
I love it.
All right, here we go. And I'm going to try and do this in less than an hour, too. So we're going to do the whole thing. So we've got the AFC East now, the Buffalo Bills, 11-6 last year, finished in first place. Sean McDermott, the head coach, they've done a fantastic job. In free agency, the addition of Von Miller, probably the biggest headline going there. They added some other guys, Jamison Crowder, Roger Saffold, Daquan Jones, some different things. But they also lost Cole Beasley, who was cut and was very much a part of that interior slot kind of play. Emmanuel Sanders, just you can count on kind of guy. A.J. Klein, Star Latulele, probably Jerry Hughes has been unsigned. Levi Wallace leaving and going to Pittsburgh. Left them really short at the cornerback position. So no huge surprise they come back in the draft. And Kair Elam out of the University of Florida ends up being the first pick. A lot of people thought maybe they were going to go running back in the first round. They did not, but they came back in the second round, pick up James Cook, who's out of Georgia, of course, world-famous brother, the whole thing. So the Buffalo Bills are the Super Bowl favorites probably anyway.
Yep.
Did they do enough to convince you? Does Von Miller alone make this an interesting team?
Yeah, I wouldn't argue it's Von Miller alone, right? But I do think they win adding Von Miller to this football team. It was a huge win to see them go cornerback, a premium position in the draft, right? I think Kair Elam is fantastic, a perfect fit for what they want to do on defense. And you know, all of the mock drafts you see in the pre-draft process for the Bills, them going Breece Hall or even into your offensive line, I think them valuing a priority position, a premium position with that pick is an excellent selection. I agree with where the markets are right now. Their win total set at 11.5. They're the favorite to win their own division at minus 175. I think they are the favorite to go to the Super Bowl in the AFC as well, and I would be betting that, right? I do think that the Buffalo Bills are not just a really complete football team. Guess what? They got one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, right? And I think their receiving core is fantastic. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Jamison Crowder, and then you add Khalil Shakir, Boise State wide receiver, that I think is a slot only in the NFL, but it's exactly what he can learn from Jamison Crowder there. He's a good depth piece. They also added Jake Kumerow this offseason. I feel really good about the Buffalo Bills. I think injuries are what's keeping them from being an AFC title contender.
Yeah, the only thing that keeps me from really liking them is that sort of sure thing is the AFC. I mean, the AFC is as good as I can remember it ever being going into this season. Doesn't mean it's going to come out that way. But as you look at it going into it, the AFC is so loaded an injury or two or three, whatever the case may be, I still do think that they are the dominant team in that division. The Patriots finished second last year. Of course, Miami doing some big things as well. We'll get to them in just a second. But let's go next to, so I think we're both going thumbs up on over 500 for the Buffalo Bills. The New England Patriots. Some questions about their draft, especially on the top end of that, and not a whole lot of movement in free agency. Probably the biggest thing for them, I thought they came out a little bit light at the cornerback position, right, especially with J.C. Jackson leaving. Shaq Mason led to them drafting an offensive guard and probably the most controversial pick of the first round in Cole Strange out of Chattanooga. But they are sitting right there. You're going to get Mac Jones in his second year now with the New England Patriots. It's going to be, you know, I think they're still right there. They'll be battling it out, trying to get that one of those final playoff spots.
Yeah, they're going to be battling for sure, right? They're plus 400 to win their own division. I think you'd argue Miami has a better chance at winning that division now than even New England with how they've approached the offseason, obviously adding Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel, who is obviously really well praised in the league. Last offseason, I came out of last offseason saying no one improved more than the New England Patriots. They bring in a ton of free agents. They add Mac Jones in the first round. And you saw some improvement, right? This year, I don't feel like that's the case. They obviously improved when you add talent like Tyquan Thornton of Baylor, Cole Strange, even though it was the consensus biggest reach in the first round. It's still a talented football player that comes and fills a hole for you when you trade to Shaq Mason. I have concerns, right? I have concerns in Mac Jones' ceiling. I don't think they improved this receiving core enough, right? Yes, they added Devontae Parker. Yes, they added Tyquan Thornton. I don't think those are massive needle movers, right? Especially when you compare to some of the needle movers the Raiders made with Devontae Adams, the Miami Dolphins made, like I said, with Tyreek Hill. And then defensively, you can't understate losing J.C. Jackson. And the corners that they did add in the draft, Jack Jones and Marcus Jones, are small. Like, J.C. Jackson's had really good size and can play on the outside. Marcus Jones is a slot-only type. I would say Jack Jones needs to add weight if he's going to play on the outside. So I am concerned with their draft. I think some of that is losing Dave Ziegler this offseason, obviously the new GM of the Las Vegas Raiders, and him bringing over some of those scouts. I do think that I'd be concerned betting the Patriots to win this division, especially with how good the Buffalo Bills are. And honestly, I would not be surprised if they finish under 500. I don't think they're favored to finish with less than 9 wins, but I think it could be an 8-win, 7-win team for the New England Patriots in 2022.
I think it's also safe to say that of the teams, of course, Buffalo started as the clear team on top, I think. But when you look at what Miami did and you look at what the Jets did, I think there's going to be more pressure from the bottom up trying to go get New England wins than the other way around. I tend to think it might be tough this year for New England to get to 500, but we shall see what we shall see. What do you think? Where would you
bet? I went under. And I think something I didn't mention too is they don't have offensive line coach Dante Scarnecchia anymore. And I think he was a big reason why they're able to draft and develop linemen like Michael Onwenu. Isaiah Wynn has been good for them. I'm concerned with that loss. And then it's not a particularly deep football team. If Jacoby Myers goes down for this football team and their number one receiver becomes Devontae Parker, that's a huge concern. So they lack depth in the receiving core. I worry about the offensive line, and defensively they lost J.C. Jackson for a team that already wasn't a good pass rushing defense. Right now, DraftKings has their over under 8.5, and I would hit the under.
Miami Dolphins, here we go. This is perhaps the most interesting of all teams in the offseason. You had, if they stay healthy, Tron Armstead, who comes over from the Saints, arguably one of the best tackles when healthy in the game. You've got Tyreek Hill, obviously coming over from the Chiefs. Cedric Wilson, who was a solid player with Dallas for a long time. Connor Williams, solid player. Chase Edmonds, a player. Raheem Mostert, maybe add some of the speed, some of the pop to that outside zone that you know they're now going to want to try and run. This is a team that got, at least on the surface, you would think, got a lot better during the free agency period of this process.
I agree. I think the Miami Dolphins, on paper, the roster, right, has gotten a lot better. I love the addition of Tyreek Hill. You spend big to bring in Tron Armstead. I think that alone is going to move this forward. And then you've even added running backs like Chase Edmonds, Raheem Mostert, et cetera. The concerns I have with the Dolphins are less so talent as much as it is the change on the sideline, right? Losing Brian Flores, how does that impact this defense? bringing in Mike McDaniel, a first-year head coach, who's going to bring an entirely new offense to Tua Tagovailoa, who's already struggling versus expectation, that's another change. And when I think about teams and betting on teams to go over or make the playoffs, one of the first things I look for is how much change did they go through this offseason. Adding Tyreek Hill is a big change. Adding Mike McDaniel is another big change. Losing Brian Flores on that defensive side, big change. I worry how quickly it's going to stick together, and it's still arguably a really bad offensive line, right? Teron Armstead only fixes that left tackle position. They obviously still added Connor Williams to play left guard, but the right side of the offensive line has some concerns. I lean under for the Dolphins as well. I like their odds to win the division more than the Patriots because I believe more in the talent that they have, but I think it's going to be too much newness for this Miami Dolphins team to immediately be a deep playoff competitor. Do I think they're in the right direction? Sure. Are they a year away if Tua takes a step forward? Absolutely. But I don't think this is the year we see them go 10 wins, 11 wins.
The interesting thing for me is, can the Miami Dolphins become the 49ers? In other words, that's obviously where Mike McDaniel came from, and under the Shanahan system, the entire thing. Is this a team that can take pressure off of that offensive line by running the ball with their outside zone game, with the play action, with the quick turnaround? Let's hit the backside slant to Tyreek Hill. Let's get Jalen Waddle down the field. Let's get Gesicki involved in some of those quick play action passes. But I'm with you. It's a little too much too soon to expect it all to come together. And of course, the draft, they didn't have anybody until round three, so I'm not even really going to focus on the draft at all. I'm going to say under, but I do think, you know, it's all Tua.
It's hugely Tua.
It sounds like an offense that could work for Tua. You know, I can see him playing that Jimmy Garoppolo kind of quarterback position, get the ball out of your hands. Being left-handed makes it a little more intriguing. Everybody's getting used to stopping that offense with a right-handed quarterback. Now all of a sudden it's your left cornerback and your left linebackers and that have to begin to confront the play side and the play action kind of passes. The Dolphins among the most interesting teams, very good at the cornerback position. I still think barely under. The New York Jets, and they should have. I mean, they've got four picks in the top 36. They should have gotten really good players, and they did. Sauce Gardner out of Cincinnati, you could make an argument he was the best cornerback in this draft. Garrett Wilson, you could make an argument he was the best wide receiver in this draft. Jermaine Johnson, probably the fourth best edge player in this draft. Breece Hall, first or second, depending on which one you like better, at the running back position, but does add a little power element in there with the New York Jets running the football. So this is a team that, you know, they get Lake and Tomlinson, so they're starting to get there with the same 49ers approach. Mike LaFleur is their offensive coordinator, so you know exactly, just like in Green Bay with Matt, that's exactly what they're going to be. Uzama, if he comes on and plays like he did in Cincinnati a season ago at the tight end position, could be fantastic. Or at least from a leadership standpoint, could really end up doing something really good. So the New York Jets at 4-13, last place a season ago, could they be that team? Because every year there is that team that goes from last to first. You know, we saw it with Cincinnati last year. Are the Jets possibly that team that could make that kind of jump?
Yeah, you know, I hate to rain on their parade. I think they had an excellent draft class. They traded a fifth to go up two spots to get Breece Hall, obviously running back. You know, going in the second round, it's not something that PFF would do, but I still think what they're trying to do is throw the kitchen sink at giving, you know, Zach Wilson no excuses. Breece Hall comes in. Garrett Wilson comes in. Elijah Moore, the Ole Miss receiver, now in his second season. They signed Corey Davis last year. They brought back Braxton Berrios. You know, they brought in Lincoln Tomlinson in free agency. They still have Elijah Vera Tucker, Mekhi Becton coming back healthy. They are giving him as little excuse as they can to develop and move forward. He also has consistency, right? LaFleur is still the play caller in New York. Am I betting them to, you know, win over eight games next year? Probably not. But I think right now DraftKings has them at over under 5.5 wins. I'm betting that. I think they're going to win more than five games next year. Their roster's too good. Like, even if, Zach Wilson doesn't figure it all out, I think their roster is too good to win five or fewer games. Jermaine Johnson, Ahmad Gardner, I think Carl Lawson coming back healthy, their roster is simply too good on paper to, I think, lose less than six games. Now, are they going to win 10? Probably not, at least not in that division. I don't think they go to the Super Bowl this year. But if Zach Wilson even takes a 10% leap forward and that defense stays healthy, I think they're going to be a team that wins at least six games. So I'm not betting them over 500, but I will bet over the 5.5 on DraftKings.
Yeah, it's always hard to take that leap, right? I mean, it just really is. I do think that I do think Robert Saleh has a plan. The Sauce Gardner pick, he's clearly a guy that can play some zone too. I've never thought of Robert Saleh as being like this big man-to-man defense kind of guy, but you know, who knows what this thing is going to look like? I far be it from me to assume that I'm going to be able to figure this whole thing out. But Zach Wilson coming out of college, I thought was too good to not be a factor. I would, if one of these quarterbacks were to make that kind of jump in year two, I do think it could be Zach Wilson. I thought that his tape was too good coming out of college to just be an also-ran, if you will, when it comes to the to this season. So, but I still would stay under with that one too. So we've got a little room to work with now, as we so we didn't pick them all to go over, unlike most shows that do this. Cincinnati Bengals, Mike Brown, congratulations to them. They make it to the Super Bowl. Zach Taylor did a great job. Lou Anarumo with the defense, I thought, you know, really stood up against the Rams. But for that last drive, probably world champs. They add Lyle Collins with Dallas, their tackle. Ted Karras comes over. Alex Kappa comes over from Tampa. Ted Karras from New England. Hayden Hurst from Atlanta. So good, solid players. Lost a few. We talked about Uzama as well. But nobody that's going to kill him, right? And then they went to work on the secondary. Daxton Hill, who I think most of us like just for his versatility and speed, whether he plays safety, slot, outside cornerback, I'm not sure. Could be anything. Maybe more of the slot kind of position, or I don't know. Probably not that, because Mike Hilton either. But you know, Cam Taylor Britt out of Nebraska comes in there as well. So I don't know that the Cincinnati Bengals got a lot better, but the two positions coming out of the Super Bowl that you thought, actually three, that they had to address: offensive line, they did in free agency; tight end, they did with Hayden Hurst; and the secondary, they did with the draft.
Mm-hmm. No, I really like what the Bengals did this offseason. They said, hey, we need to get better in the offensive line, and that's not always through the draft. We're going to add a ton in free agency. Bringing in Alex Kappa, Ted Karras, and Lael Collins all in the same offseason is fantastic. I think Cordell Volson in the fourth round, North Dakota State offensive tackle, is going to compete as a depth piece there. I really like what they did to address the offensive line. That was the biggest concern, right? We went into free agency saying if the Bengals don't change up this offensive line, Joe Burrow is going to be running for his life again, and it's going to be very difficult to be deep postseason, Super Bowl competitive consistently if Joe Burrow is getting hit as much as he was last year. Defensively, the Daxton Hill pick is interesting, because he played mostly slot cornerback at Michigan, and they have a really good slot cornerback in Mike Hilton. Do they want him to play outside cornerback? That's what lead draft analyst here Mike Renner said. Do they want him to play that role? Because Eli Apple wasn't all that successful for them. Or is this a conversation with Jesse Bates, right? Is it that they're not interested in giving him the long-term deal? I'll be really interested to see where they deploy Daxton Hill. And then in the second round, one of the more athletic outside cornerbacks in this class, Cam Taylor Britt from Nebraska, love what they did there. Tyson Anderson, local Ohio guy, comes over from Toledo, really fantastic athlete. Duke Tobin, for what he's done in free agency and what he's done in the draft over the last two or three years, needs a Purple Heart. I mean, he's done some incredible things for the city of Cincinnati and for this Bengals team. I mean, you think about, we bring up Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase all the time. Think about Sam Hubbard, B.J. Hill coming over in a trade, D.J. Reader in free agency, Trey Hendrickson in free agency, Von Bell in free agency, Chidobe Awuzie. These are starters. And oftentimes when teams go to the free agency well and try and sign guys like a Von Bell and like Trey Hendrickson and Chidobe Awuzie, it doesn't pan out. And now it didn't pan out with Trey Waynes, who obviously got hurt and they gave a big contract, but it's panned out with a lot of these other decisions that they've made. So Duke Tobin is really impressive. I think they definitely go over 500 next year, and I think they're going to be in the mix again for a deep postseason run.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I would think Eli Apple's going to be the guy sort of on the hot seat here to see if they can get him replaced, and probably Von Bell as well as they bring in the extra safety. But who knows? They may have something up their sleeve here that none of us know what they're going to do. Let's go on to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Perhaps, you know, one of the most celebrated teams in all of football. Kevin Colbert retires after his last draft. Congratulations to him. He had a great run, no question. Mike Tomlin never loses. His team's always in the playoffs or something very close to it. They made the wild card at 9-7 last year. But a team that really had no chance for a Super Bowl run. I think we would all agree with that. So Ben retires. Now Mitchell Trubisky comes in. And they draft the only quarterback in the first two rounds of the draft in Kenny Pickett. George Pickens in the second round, a nice-looking receiver out of Georgia coming off of injury. Don't know exactly where he's going to be as far as being an immediate contributor. But it is going to be interesting for me to watch Kenny Pickett play the quarterback position. If it is him that starts, it could be Mitchell Trubisky right off the bat. But is Kenny Pickett going to be in the Ben Roethlisberger style of quarterback where he's going to throw it in 2.0 seconds? Or is he going to be what Kenny Pickett was at Pitt, which is a guy that'll hold on to it, move around a little bit, and try to make some plays that way? This is a really interesting – I mean, you could throw Mason Rudolph into the mix too.
Yeah.
Who plays quarterback for Pittsburgh next year is going to be worth a watch.
And I know this too. With Mike Tomlin, who I think is one of the most underrated coaches in the NFL, is going to make this a competition, right? He's not going to go in and have pressure from up top, say, you got to start Pickett, you got to start Pickett. He's going to let the best quarterback play. And that could be Mitchell Trubisky. Now, it could also be Kenny Pickett. And I honestly think it'll be very difficult for the Pittsburgh Steelers compared to what we saw from Big Ben last year not to have – upgraded at quarterback. I mean, Big Ben was one of the lowest graded quarterbacks in the NFL last year, and that's a big reason why there are like multiple point, double digit dogs in the postseason. Mitchell Trubisky can come in and has a low bar to clear, and so does Kenny Pickett, to be better than what Big Ben was last year. And I love this receiving core. Anthony Miller, Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, George Pickens, Calvin Austin coming from Memphis in the fourth round I thought was a steal. This receiving core has a ton of talent. Pat Freiermuth, the tight end from Penn State. This is an offense that has a lot of weapons. The offensive line is still a massive concern. It was a concern last year, and it's going to be a concern again. The offense is going to be predicated on getting the ball out quickly. I think Trubisky can handle that, and I think Pickett can develop in that as well. And defensively, still has a lot of talent on that side of the ball as well. They bring in DeMarvin Leal in the third round, who I think was rumored to be, you know, a top 10 pick before this season. It was played up and down the line of scrimmage at Texas A&M. Didn't develop as people wanted to see, but you have Leal as a depth piece. Obviously, TJ Watt, reigning defensive player of the year. I think they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and they always continue to be one of the better well-coached defenses. This is an over spot for me. I think they finish over 500 because I feel good about them actually upgrading over the version of Big Ben we saw last year. And I really, really like the weapons they have in Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, and now the depth with an Anthony Miller, Calvin Austin, George Pickens.
They certainly have the defense to be over 500. Every bit of information that we have around here says, who's the quarterback, and then tell me the rest of the story.
Exactly.
Right? And when you don't even know who the quarterback is going into training camp, he does it every year. I give Tomlin credit. I just wonder if they don't just go, you know what? This is a really tough division this season. We're going to throw our rookie quarterback in there, see how he does, let him just learn the old-fashioned way. I find that hard to believe in this division that they can take that over 500, although I've felt that way before, and somehow Mike Tomlin always seems to be able to get that done. So, all right, we're going to split on that one. I'm going to go under. You're going to go over. The Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski and company trying to bring in Deshaun Watson, and let's go put on a show here for everybody. They, you know, we're still not sure what happens with that. I assume there's no suspension. Is this court proceeding seems to be stretched out. I keep hearing it's going to be after the season, but they add Amari Cooper. They certainly a great receiving threat as well. They lose Austin Hooper, J.C. Treader off the offensive line, Jarvis Landry been around, Jadeveon Clowney hasn't signed yet. And they didn't get a pick until the third round, mostly, I assume, because of the Deshaun Watson coming over, franchise tag, David Njoku. I don't even know how to predict this exactly. Because I don't know what's going to happen at the quarterback position.
Yeah, right now, DraftKings, you can't bet on the Browns win total because they really? Don't know. They don't know if Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended at all, if he's going to be suspended for half the season. I mean, this is a market that I steer clear of, right? They're the favorite to win the division. You can bet on that at plus 175. I'm not touching that. I'm not touching Browns plus 175 to win the division when you have uncertainty, not only just uncertainty at the quarterback position, but also really good football teams, right? I like the Bengals in that division. I like the Ravens in the AFC North. So it's one that's tough to forecast, right? If I had to lean one direction, gun to my head, I'd say under, just because I do think the NFL is going to hand down a suspension on Deshaun Watson, and that will make it difficult to come out of the gate with, you know, more wins than maybe people are expecting. So I'd lean under, but I'd also accept incomplete, right? We don't know. We don't know until, obviously, their starting quarterback and what they do with Baker Mayfield and all that stuff. We don't really know how to forecast this one.
The Ravens, big changes there as well. Wink Martindale, no longer the defensive coordinator. Mike McDonald comes over from Michigan, I do believe. And so that's going to be an interesting one. We get Kyle Hamilton. We get Tyler Lindenbaum, David Ajabo. All three guys, I think, Ajabo, am I saying his last name right?
That's it. That's it.
That he likely would have been a first-round pick, but for the torn Achilles during his pro day, I think it was. But Kyle Hamilton and Tyler Lindenbaum, especially when you consider Baltimore, with as much as they like to pull and lead in front of Lamar Jackson and give him a chance to make plays with his legs and Greg Roman's offense, that this really could become a major factor for them. But they have to get Lamar Jackson healthy. They have to get those running backs back healthy again over what? And then they traded Marquise Brown. And I know we had a little bit of fun with that on draft night, but it still is. You still have to find a replacement, right? You still have to find somebody who's going to be that big play weapon for them on the outside. This is a team that goes as far as Lamar Jackson can take them.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's one of the more underrated teams in football right now. I mean, because the Bengals getting all the love, you know, Deshaun Watson, the Cleveland Browns get a lot of love, and I think the Baltimore Ravens have one of the best draft classes in this previous year, getting Tyler Lindenbaum, the consensus best center in this draft class. You get Kyle Hamilton, easily the consensus best safety in this draft class. Add David Ajabo, who even if he doesn't play for you this year, you're getting a first-round caliber player healthy in 2023. Travis Jones was one of the steals of the draft. UConn defensive tackle, they get him, I think, at 76. Then Jalen Armour Davis was a value pick where they picked him, right? I like Daniel Faalele in this, you know, this offense that wants to prioritize big offensive linemen and running the football. You say Lamar Jackson, right, is what how far they go. I also think this receiving core. You know, because you lose Marquise Brown, who I think they got really good value in that trade, getting a first-round pick. I don't think there's any other team in football outside of the Kyler Murray-led Arizona Cardinals that trades a first for Marquise Brown. But then you look at this receiving core. Rashad Bateman needs to take a step forward, the second-year receiver out of Minnesota. Devin Duvernay needs to take a step forward. James Prochet needs to take a step forward. They let go of Miles Boykin. I don't know if they're going to add a veteran, right? There are some veterans available. Will Fuller, potentially, if he's healthy. Julio Jones, if he's healthy. I would assume they do. But this receiving core, I think, does need a veteran to come in. And I think the Baltimore Ravens ultimately do that because I think that is more of an Achilles heel than when Lamar Jackson is right now. I'm betting over. I also like their long odds to win the division, especially with the Cleveland Browns still as the favorite and uncertainty with the suspension. But over 500, and I like them to make the playoffs.
The Chris Collinsworth Podcast is sponsored by our friends at Western and Southern Financial Group. Luckily, you've got first-round help here in selecting the right money moves for you. Do you need life insurance? Think about Western and Southern. What about planning your financial goals? Western and Southern certainly would help. Don't pass on this very important round. Use your position to expand your financial education and learn more with information on life insurance, investing, and retirement planning at westernsouthern.com/draft. Right now, you can get 25% off any PFF subscription if you use code Collinsworth. That's right. And what do you get with a PFF subscription? All of PFF's locked article content, and there is a ton of it. Fantasy football rankings and projections, they'll all be coming out very soon. data and grades from the entire 2021 season. That's all locked and loaded, so you can start your work right now. And all the information you need on the upcoming 2022 season and so much more. So support the podcast. Use promo code Collinsworth for 25% off any subscription. Are you looking to turn a small bet into a big, big payday? Well, with DraftKings Sportsbook same game parlays, you can pocket more cash when you combine multiple bets from one game. Download the app, sign up with code SPORTS. S-P-O-R-T-S, that's the code, and get a special offer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. In the AFC South, the Tennessee Titans, the defending champion there, Mike Vrabel, with another shot. I mean, they're going to pick up Robert Woods, who was hurt last year with the Rams. Austin Hooper comes from Cleveland. Some good players, but, you know, you also lose A.J. Brown in the process. And, you know, that's a bit of a problem. They replace him in the draft with Treylon Burks, who's a guy that if you were going to describe him, maybe you're going, yeah, he's kind of A.J. Brown-like, big, strong, physical kind of thing. But A.J. Brown's sort of, you know, a one-off. There aren't many guys that play the position of receiver quite like he does. And now it gets interesting. You know, what are we going to do here with Malik Willis drafted in the third round? And how much are you going to commit to Ryan Tannehill? I think Tannehill is no question the starter this year, maybe even the starter next year, because Malik Willis has a long way to go. I mean, he just does. He's got a lot to learn about the NFL game. And Ryan Tannehill is probably going to be a decent guy for him to sit and watch for a while.
No, for sure. I think the Titans, it's been an interesting thing to see how they've built up this roster, right? Because trading away A.J. Brown because they wanted to offer him a $16 million deal with incentives, not a $25 million deal, and still getting a first return back is not necessarily bad business, but it's a team in a window, right? That paid a ton of money to Bud Dupree and paid a ton of money to Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill. It's like you're in this position now where you're not rebuilding. You need to be pushing your team forward and upgrading to be Super Bowl competitive. And Ryan Tannehill is not one of these elite tiered quarterbacks, but he can be wildly successful when the receiving core is good. And I don't think Treylon Burks, the Arkansas wideout, is a one of one, you know, trade-off, right? People compare him to A.J. Brown, but I think A.J. Brown is shiftier. I think A.J. Brown's even a little bit better after the catch. You're not going to get that Brown production, even though Burks will play the same role, out of him year one. And then you factor in how some of this is going to fall off. I don't know. You know, Mike Vrabel probably has the same rationale as I do. When you saw them trade A.J. Brown and him stand up when Burks traded, he was not upset. No, not happy. And even in the post-draft press conference, not thrilled. I mean, they did not get better at receiver trading A.J. Brown and adding Treylon Burks. I think everyone would say that. I like the pick for Malik Willis. I think it's still a very talented football team in a weak division. There's a good chance they go toe-to-toe with Matt Ryan and the Indianapolis Colts to win it. They go over 500, but I don't see them as a deep postseason contender. I don't. Like, they maybe make the playoffs. I don't think they're a deep postseason contender. I don't love a lot of the decisions they've made this offseason.
Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, just to name a few of these quarterbacks, now A.J. Brown, that are getting the big bucks. I think there are just teams. We saw that reflected throughout the course of this offseason. There were either trades with wide receivers, teams unwilling to pay that. Kansas City, certainly. Tennessee, certainly. Green Bay, certainly. Sometimes because they had a quarterback, whatever. But you also saw it reflected in the draft this year. Because the number of wide receivers, and we anticipated that was going to happen just based on talent alone, but I think the value and where you took those wide receivers got moved up, because now you begin to understand if you have a really good receiver on your team, even if they're not holding out this year, they're probably going to be holding out next year or demanding much higher wages as they go down the line here. So the wide receiver position, it's only about 40 years too late for me, but finally having a breakout here for everybody. That's so it'll incredible. Be good. The Indianapolis Colts, 9-8 a season ago, and did not make the playoffs. They did come in second place in that division. Bad loss at the end of the season, knock them out. But the Indianapolis Colts are a team now that you have to say, Maybe, right? I mean, with Matt Ryan coming in, Yannick Ngakoue coming in, no Carson Wentz, who had good moments, had bad moments during the course of the year. This is an intriguing team. I could see Frank Reich and Matt Ryan being, they're almost the same personality-wise, and just being kindred spirits on the football team and on the field as it comes in. So they still didn't get a first-round pick this year as part of that Carson Wentz trade the last offseason. They're interesting. It's a physical team. It's like watching San Francisco play in some ways. They're going to run the football. Yep. And now it's going to be just how much does Ryan have left?
I think Ryan has a lot left. You could argue that they got better at quarterback this offseason. Right? I mean, Carson Wentz.
No question.
Carson Wentz is a roller coaster. We saw that in the Jacksonville Jaguars game where he gets a lot of hate. He had some of the best throws all season in that game and then had some of the worst throws all season in that game. And it's hard to bet on a roller coaster when you have a really good roster. Like, I love their offensive line. Jonathan Taylor is one of the best running backs in the NFL. I think their receiving core is fine. And then they add Alec Pierce, the Cincinnati wide receiver in the second round. I think they get better there. Paris Campbell can work the slot. Michael Pittman Jr. is your outside receiver that works the short, intermediate areas of the football field. And then Pierce is your vertical threat on the outside. This is a really talented football team that I think got a better quarterback. I like them to win this division. And defensively, while there aren't stars, right? Obvious stars at premium positions, they have invested a lot there. And I think they're going to hit this year. Kwity Paye coming out in his second season out of Michigan. Yannick Ngakoue they added this offseason to play opposite of Kwity Paye. They still have DeForest Buckner, one of the better interior defensive linemen in this class. Obviously, Darius Leonard. I'm a huge fan. And they added Stephon Gilmore. Like, this Colts team is good. And I think they're going to win this division. I think they upgraded at quarterback. It's simple for me. It would be really surprising to see them go under 500. This is a good football team, a really well-coached football team. I like them to win the AFC South as well.
Moving on to the Houston Texans, they came in third place last year, and Lovie Smith now, the head coach there, Pep Hamilton, the offensive coordinator. To me, this is an interesting team. They let Deshaun Watson go. Justin Reed got paid a big contract to go to Kansas City. So now we go on to the draft. Derek Stingley, they had a chance to take Sauce, chose Derek Stingley instead. One of my favorite picks that probably nobody else would even agree with, but I thought Kenyon Green had a chance to possibly be the best offensive lineman in this draft. That we've got him listed at guard would not surprise me. I actually think he has the feet. He could play tackle. Jalen Petrie is a do-everything guy at the safety position. John Metchie, you know, if he doesn't get hurt in the championship run, then maybe Alabama's the national championship team. So there are good players here, but it all circles back at the end of the day to Davis Mills and what you think about him.
Yeah.
I mean, he did a lot of good things a season ago. I remember watching him play in college, and you go, hey, there's a lot there. If I remember correctly, Davis Mills was like the top recruit coming out of high school. He was the stud, had a couple of injuries, and some tough things happened to him there. So we're right back to the same thing. They did good things in the draft. And can Davis Mills play? That's it.
Yeah, no, and Davis Mills played okay last year, at least better than what we expected of him, right? And what I worry about is the newness again. You bring in Lovie Smith, you're going from one head coach to another in 1 year. Davis Mills is getting thrown for a loop in terms of what this offense will look like, and then you add a lot to the offense as well. And Kenyon Green's coming in, right? You bring in you bring in John Metchie to play the slot. You got new corners and Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley that will likely start. There's a lot of newness on this football team, not a lot of consistency, and that makes it difficult to clear the 500 mark. Now, I might get crucified for this, but it's not a terrible situation for Davis Mills when you compare it to the other second-year quarterback situations. Like, bringing in John Metchie to work the slot is awesome. I like where they got him in the second round. Nico Collins, I don't love as a receiver, but he's a vertical threat. And then you still have Brandon Cooks. The offensive line gets an upgrade in Kenyon Green, one of your favorite players out of Texas A&M. They have Laramie Tunsil there. Is it a perfect offensive line? No, but a lot of people in that building also really like Titus Howard, who could play right tackle or right guard for this football team. They just picked up his fifth-year option. Defensively, they get better in one of the most important areas to get better, the secondary, Derek Stingley Jr., and Jalen Petrie. This situation is not as bleak as DraftKings has it. Right now, you can bet over 4.5 wins at plus 125. I'm taking it. I'm a Houston Texans fan next year, Chris. I don't think they're going to necessarily win over 500, but I don't think they're the pit of despair that they were last year. The newness is going to affect them. They're not going to win like 7-8 games, but I like them to win at least 5+.
The thing I love is people who love football teams based solely on their wallet. So that's you can walk around to any quarter you want around here at PFF, and that's exactly what it is. The Jacksonville Jaguars, and this is going to be the interesting one. Trent Baalke, obviously, going with Trevon Walker out of Georgia off the edge. That's it. He's one of the great athletes that's come out, did not have the production in college on one of the greatest college teams. They asked him to do a lot of different things, played the one, the three, the five, outside, stand-up linebacker. He had to do everything. But we didn't see the pressure rate. We didn't see the numbers out of him that we saw out of Aiden Hutchinson. Devin Lloyd, I think, is exactly the kind of player you want in Jacksonville. Not only a good football player, but you can just tell from a leadership standpoint, Utah losing a couple of players were killed. He came back for an additional year when he could have been drafted the year prior and led that team to a championship. I love everything about Devin Lloyd. So I love him going there. So it really is going to come down to now in so many different ways. Did they hit on some of these draft picks? Are they ready on offense to finally take that next step up? We saw some good things out of Jacksonville. We really did. Trevor Lawrence last year had flashes of doing some really good stuff on the outside. Now that they're also going to add in Christian Kirk at the receiver position, Brandon Scherff on the offensive line, Zay Jones, Evan Ingram. So they definitely added some talent to the offense as well, and then drafted defense.
Yeah, Jacksonville for me has to improve, right? The situation last year with Urban Meyer was nothing short of a disaster, right? And like you see some of the reports that have come out about him and that culture. It was very difficult for Trevor Lawrence to have success. It was very difficult for any other player on that football team to have any levels of success. So you immediately get an upgrade in Doug Peterson. And then what they've done over the offseason, I don't love their receiving core, right? Zay Jones, Christian Kirk, Marvin Jones, Laquon Treadwell, LaVisca Chenault Jr. I don't love it, but I have the most faith in Trevor Lawrence taking a step forward of anyone, right? Because he's going to get consistent coaching. It's going to be a better situation for him. And even if he improves by 10-15%, this football team's going to be a lot better because it goes as he goes. And the receiving core can be bad. I think Trevor Lawrence has this opportunity to be a transcendent quarterback in this league, a transcendent enough quarterback to where he doesn't need the best receiving core, even a top 15 receiving core in the NFL, to have 6-7 win type of success. And defensively, I like a lot of what they have, right? I did not like the Trevon Walker pick over, say, Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau, but he's still a talented football player. And so is Devin Lloyd. He's an older prospect coming out of Utah. They've invested a lot at off-ball linebacker, which is interesting. Chad Muma, third-round pick out of Wyoming. They obviously made Foye Oluokun one of the highest-paid off-ball linebackers in this class. They got better this offseason. They had the draft capital to do it. Are they a plus 500 team? I say absolutely not. Would I take them over 6? Probably, but there is a lot of newness, right? I think they probably win 6 or 7 games.
Travis Etienne back as well, or should be. That may help as well. He could even end up in a slot kind of position. Who knows what they're going to do with them. Let's jump over to the AFC West now and the Kansas City Chiefs. This is going to be a very interesting one for me. How good are the Chiefs going to be this season? And, that's big change. Just Tyreek Hill alone. I feel like I could do a half an hour show on what that's going to do to this offense, because he was the reason they were playing all that two deep shell coverage. He was the reason that you could get Travis Kelce loose against linebackers inside. He was the reason in many instances that Clyde Edwards-Helaire or Mecole Hardman got opportunities. Now those guys, they're on their own. You're on your own now at this point. And they, Byron Pringle, Sammy Watkins, Tarvarius Ward, DeMarcus Robinson, who's made plays for these guys over the year, Tyrann Mathieu, probably the leader of that defense. There are a lot of guys that we're used to seeing in that uniform no longer there. Now it's Marquez Valdez-Scantling. It's Juju Smith-Schuster. It's guys that we know but not used to seeing it with this football team. So Kansas City won 12 games last year. Are they going to get the 12 this year in that division, which looks so tough? I don't see it.
I mean, I think they're going to cap out around 11, 12 wins. I bet them over 10.5. They're obviously, as long as Patrick Mahomes is quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm saying over 500 every year. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. I think what's under-discussed about this Chiefs team is the consistency they're going to have on the offensive line. Because last year was like 5 new starters across the board. Now you're going in, Orlando Brown Jr. is there again. Creed Humphrey, one of the best rookies last year, is there again. Joey Tooney, Trey Smith, etc. So I'm happy or excited about seeing that offensive line have some consistency. I also really like their pick of Darian Kennard, the Kentucky offensive lineman in the 5th. And then this receiving core, yeah, I get it. They lost Tyreek Hill. There's no replacing Tyreek Hill. But I trust Andy Reid and Mahomes to make the proper adjustments to still have success with the receivers they have. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Mecole Hardman, Juju Smith-Schuster. You still have Josh Gordon there. And then Sky Moore in the 2nd round. One of my favorite receivers in this class, a top 32 player in this draft class for me. They get him in the 2nd round. So I don't have as much of concerns about regression for the Chiefs losing Hill. And defensively, they had one of the best draft classes, right? George Karlaftis was a steal at the back end of the 1st. They need pass rushing help. Trent McDuffie was one of Mike's favorite players in this draft, a top 10 player in this draft. So I really like what the Chiefs did in the draft. Losing Tyreek Hill is tough. That doesn't make your football team better. It doesn't make any football team better. But I think what they've done to bring in talent and still have a good receiving core with Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Hardman, and Sky Moore, I think it's being overstated that it's going to just take a baseball bat to this football team. They're going to be different. Hill changes you everything, right? You said they're going to see more, less two high looks, all that stuff. But I like them to go over 500, and I like them to go 10.5 wins plus.
McDuffie I like, but I think he's going to be a little more of a zone-focused kind of guy. Karlaftis, you got to like what he does setting the edge. Is he going to be a 10-sack guy? I would put that the under. Sky Moore, a slot receiver. And you know, not going to be the same sort of, I don't know, nobody's Tyreek Hill on the outside trying to open things up. But I do think Sky Moore is, I love watching the kid play. I think he's going to be a rock star. Out of everybody in this group, if you had to say at the end of the year, which player out of this draft class are we going to be talking about the most? I think it's going to be Sky Moore.
I think that's a great call.
All right, let's go on to the Raiders, and we all know about the Davante Adams deal and what happened there. But Chandler Jones coming over as well—that's a huge thing for this team. Josh McDaniels and company—they come in here and they fire the gun, man. Anthony Averett, a guy nobody's heard of, a cornerback out of Baltimore, I thought made some plays against some really good players. Daron Harmon, all that experience. Back there with Josh McDaniels in New England, some good plays there. So they don't get much in the draft because of the trade for Davante Adams. But Davante Adams might be the reason that this team gets over the hump. They made the playoffs a season ago, barely got beat by the Bengals in Cincinnati in the playoffs, and they've added a lot this season.
This team got so much better this offseason, and it's not necessarily all because of the Adams trade, Chandler Jones. It's because they brought in Dave Ziegler, the new GM, and they brought in Josh McDaniels, the new head coach, right? They really struggled to add in the draft in the Mayock-Gruden era, right? They had some of the worst draft classes we've seen. They had 3 first-round picks in 2019 and didn't pick up any of their fifth-year options. That's almost unheard of.
Right.
And so now you bring in Ziegler, you bring in McDaniels, and they actually look like they have a coherent, obvious roster building strategy. We're going to go get better on offense. We're going to go trade for Davante Adams. We're going to move on from Unique Ngakoue via trade, and we're going to bring in Chandler Jones. We're going to add some depth in the secondary and Anthony Averett and Daron Harmon. That is fantastic. And Rock Ya-Sin as well. They bring in Rock Ya-Sin. Like, this is a football team with a plan now and with a quarterback that I think is a fringe top 12 player in the NFL at his position in Derek Carr, him getting his former college teammate in Davante Adams. Guess what? This team's going over 500 and still missing the playoffs. It's too good of a division. It's too good of a division. They're going to win 9, maybe 10 games and could miss the playoffs because the Chargers are phenomenal, the Chiefs are phenomenal, and the Broncos have Russell Wilson. It's a bad year for the Raiders to improve as much as they did because everyone else in that division improved so much, and you could argue Derek Carr is the worst quarterback of the division.
Don't forget, though, what happened this year in the playoffs. It was the teams that had to slug their way through their divisions that made it onto the Super Bowl.
Yes.
The Cincinnati Bengals in a very good AFC North division. The Rams in a very good West division in the NFC. And while you may not see those teams go in as number one seeds, what happened to the number one seeds this year? Both of them were gone in the first round. Boom, they're out. And Tennessee and Green Bay, both out in the first round. So to me, especially in this new format and 17 games, health obviously a big part of it. But I also think that when you're playing against tough competition, which all the teams in this division, like every single week, they're going to be going, oh my God, do we ever get a week off in this whole season? And the answer is going to be no. But if they're healthy, if they're right, if they've gotten a chance to play together now for an entire season, and it starts coming together at the end of the year, those are the teams that you're going to have to beat. And the Los Angeles Chargers, where we're going next, is one of those teams right at the top of the list as far as what can happen for a football team. This team, to me, I thought they were a season ago. They had a chance to just knock it out of the park, right, and be something really special, and got beaten in the last game of the year. So they're going to add Khalil Mack. They're going to add J.C. Jackson, Gerald Everett. They lose a few guys, but nothing really that I think is going to be overwhelming. People probably like their draft better than I did. I wasn't a huge fan of Zion Johnson. He went 17th. Then they pick again in the third round. So I do think they got better with Mack and with Jackson. Did they get better to the point where you go, all right, Super Bowl favorite over the Buffalo Bills? Not in my mind, not yet.
No, I agree with you. I think one of the biggest reasons that the Los Angeles Chargers did not make the postseason last year was, one, the run defense was awful. And they got a lot better adding Sebastian Joseph Day and Khalil Mack, two really excellent run defenders. The other piece is that they lost a lot of close games. And when you are a young football team with a young head coach, you're going to lose close games, especially in a division as tough as the AFC West. So I think they are on the turn, right? They need to win those close games, and they need to improve in run defense. I think they did both those things with the players that they added, obviously specifically Sebastian Joseph Day and Khalil Mack. Offensively, do I wish they went receiver at 17? Yes, but the receivers didn't fall to their way, right? Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, and Garrett Wilson were all off the board in the first 12 picks, right? I would have loved an Olave here at 17 or a Jameson Williams here at 17. They just didn't have the opportunity. And when you talk to Staley, Seth Galina, an analyst here at PFF, told me that in those conversations, they felt that their deep passing game and their explosive on offense were hindered more by their offensive line necessarily than their wide receiver three, right? Because they obviously have Keenan Allen, they have Mike Williams, and they're trying to leverage Jalen Guyton as this vertical threat. I still feel like upgrading with Zion Johnson there at right guard. Are there still concerns with Storm Norton at right tackle? Sure, but they're not the only offensive line with a weak link in offensive tackle. I think it's going to be a better football team this year than last year. That's scary because they were a very talented football team last year.
Tough division. Even the Denver Broncos are going to get significantly better now with Russell Wilson coming over in a trade from Seattle. Randy Gregory comes over from Dallas. Even DJ Jones, if he can stay healthy, a defensive tackle from the 49ers. Kaywan Williams, a lot of talent. I don't know that he's ever quite completely put it together yet. But this is a football team now that you just roll out Russell Wilson and you bring in Nathaniel Hackett and that system. I think it's going to fit Russell Wilson. I think it's going to give him some play action ability. If I ever had a complaint about Russell Wilson, I think he's the best deep ball thrower in the game. I never thought he was either able to see it or complete it to the short, quick game over the middle. Now he's going to have to. Now he's in an offense. And maybe it doesn't happen right away. I could see that too. Aaron Rodgers didn't buy into this offense, this 49ers offense in the first year. He did the second year and the third year, and he won the MVP back-to-back years. So if Russell Wilson buys in, if he starts to work the middle of the field a little bit better than what he's done, it could be very, very good because he's got a good group of receivers. He's got a good group of running backs that go with him. Noah Fant can get down the field and be a vertical threat, although he's gone now, right? Mm-hmm. But this is a football team that definitely is upgraded in a lot of positions.
Absolutely. I mean, you upgraded the most important one, right? You bring in Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson immediately gives you a higher floor and a higher ceiling than they ever had with Drew Lock and the quarterback situation that they had the previous year. This is, though, right now the Raiders are the favorite to be the last place team in the AFC West. If I had to bet a different team, it would be Denver, because there's a lot of newness. Again, I go back to that. Like, offseason, what gets understated, and everyone's like, I had 12 players on the offensive line, brought in a new head coach and our offensive coordinator. They lose Vic Fangio, and they bring in Hackett, which they think is an upgrade, obviously, and then now they have a new quarterback as well. That is going to lead to change, and change can sometimes take a while to hit. So for me, Denver is a really talented football team, likely finishes third in this division behind the Chargers and the Chiefs, but I wouldn't be surprised if they finish last as they adjust, right, as Russell Wilson adjusts to this offense and the new change of scenery, and defensively, as they continue to add talent. I love Patrick Surtain, but I have concerns outside of that. Justin Simmons is fantastic. Kareem Jackson, worry about Darby a bit. And then defensive line, they add Randy Gregory, which is fantastic. BR, obviously, just continue to bounce back off-ball linebacker, right? I don't think that's a particularly strong group at off-ball linebacker for the Broncos. I still think they clear 500. I think everyone in the AFC West might win 9 games next year at least, but I don't know necessarily I'm picking them as deep postseason contenders.
Their top draft pick didn't get a number one, obviously, but Nick Benito out of Oklahoma, speed rusher.
I like him a lot.
Can dip and turn and was one of the guys we liked around here. Had a lot of production at Oklahoma. So, all right, well, that wraps up the AFC. As I told you, that would probably take an hour. And so we're going to split this up. I don't know when we'll come back together again, but I want to do this again, and we'll do the entire NFC as well. But the AFC, really where the action is, I think, coming into this football season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.